I think most or all of us have committed our lives to endeavor in these mortal bodies to serve Him faithfully until death. Today, I'd like to tackle a subject that I feel like I need growing in, and yet as I looked at the need for it, I just was like, wow, there is truly a dearth of it out there. And as we get into it, you will know what I'm referencing. I believe it all started several weeks ago when we were studying in 2 Timothy, particularly chapter 3, where Paul tells Timothy, you know, that in the last days there's going to be some, I think we often call it terrible times, where people will be focused basically on themselves. That's what I think of. It's just like the focus is me. What feels good to me, what things I want to hear. And then in chapter 4, then it says that it talks about having itching ears. Or the idea is teachers who actually tell people things that they like to hear and are afraid to say things contrary to that because of the fallout. And I was just recognizing that, you know what, this is an important time that we live in, because I believe Paul saw it almost 2,000 years ago when he wrote it. And we know that things haven't gotten better. In fact, we see them heading towards worse. And so what does that mean? It probably means we will see more and more of it. But as Christians, we need to recognize that we cannot stand still. We are either moving forward or we are slipping backward, which calls for action. I would like to liken life being like a baseball game. And we are called to be the umpire. Now, a good umpire is one who knows the rules and makes calls according to the rules. And I've wondered, I've never really wanted to be an umpire for professional games, but I've wondered how umpires keep themselves completely neutral. Because it is difficult to watch a game and not quickly take sides, at least it is for me. And yet for an ump, that it is incredibly important that he remain, I'm going to say, as neutral as possible and remember the rules. So if an umpire lets preference interfere with his calls, he will not make judgments following the rules. You know, if it was a close call, you'd just say, well, he's safe, rather than saying he's out, because you're kind of rooting for that team. Now, how are we like umpires? As Christians, we are called to make judgments according to the rule book, or the Word of God, we would say. The better we know the rule book, the better our judgment will be in specific situations. And what I'm referring to is what I'm going to call spiritual discernment. Look out around you. Do you see people, and I'm going to say particularly Christians, who are using discernment? Like I said, as I looked out, I was saddened to see that it looks like it could feel like we're losing ground as Christians in being able to discern particularly as it relates to what does the Word of God say and how are people living. So as we go through life, we are called as Christians to discern between good and evil, between truth and falsehood, and between what is good and what is best. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, and I'd like to read that verse, it says, "Of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, there were 200 of them, chiefs, and all their kinsmen under their command." And I just find this verse fascinating because it's in the middle of listing men who came to David when he was at Ziklag. And it names how many men there were from each tribe. But it says this specifically about the tribe of Issachar, that there were 200 of them who had understanding of the times. And it seems kind of out of context, but I looked at the verse, and from what I understand, it means that they understood the times that they were living in, and that they had a way forward of what Israel ought to do. Now, why do I bring this verse up? I would like to see that we have men and women at center who understand our times and know what center ought to do. Are there those of you who will rise to that challenge? And if we do, I believe we will need the spiritual discernment that I'm referring to. My first point is, how do we discern between good and evil? I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 11 through 14. And this would also indicate that there will be people who aren't wanting to hear what we are saying, because it talks about people who are dull of hearing. Verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I'd like to read the last verse, verse 14, in the English Standard. "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." So there is a call in Hebrews to say, what he was saying to the people he was writing to, you continue to just stay on milk. And I'd like to write things to you, and I'd like for you to become teachers, because it's teachers who are actually on mature food. And it is those who are able then to discern well between good and evil. I'm guessing most of you would agree that we live in an age when there's quite a bit of relativism. If you have interacted at all with people, you will hear comments like, "Well, your faith is good for you, but it's not necessary for me," or it's just this whole thing of postmodernism has affected us, that do we really know what truth is? Everything is relative. Everything, how can we know that there is actual truth? And so I recognize that in this age of relativism, to some people, my message will not be well received. But I would like to suggest that that is to the carnal mind, But to those who have a spiritual mind, we can understand the things of God as he said in his word. And that is, I take that from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. I'd like to read that. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So there are times, I believe, when we try to discern things, but we're trying to do it with a carnal mind. And it's very clear from what Paul teaches here in Corinthians that there are things that can only be understood with in the spiritual sense, with a spiritual mind. I would also like to say that wisdom is related to discernment. A quote I found from a Bible help said this: "A discerning mind demonstrates wisdom and insight that go beyond what is seen and heard." End of quote. So there is wisdom and there is also insight in discerning, in when we have a discerning mind. Now, we are called to discern between good and evil for ourselves. Now, have you ever noticed how much easier it is to make decisions for someone else than it is for yourself? You hear someone telling about a scenario or something that they were faced with, and you're like, well, I know what I'd do in that instance. But given the same or a different scenario where we have to make that decision, all of a sudden may not be as clear. And so I would just like to say that we are called to discern good and evil for ourselves. Now, yes, as brothers, we also need to be discerning in helping them avoid pitfalls. But still, there is this personal responsibility that we have when it comes to discerning that is ours. Now, the Bible says that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so we also have the Word of God that helps us in discerning. I believe that these are areas of black and white. You know, we know that good and evil are at opposite ends. I mean, completely contrary to each other. So there is a right and there is a wrong when we are needing to make a decision. So what are things that fit into this category? Well, I'd like to suggest, first of all, that maybe our belief system is where we need discernment. What are we believing? What is my core belief about God? What is my core belief about the Word of God? We need to discern. What are we believing, what is good, or are we believing what is evil? Our view of Scripture is either right or it's wrong. And where it gets personal is our actions. We do good or we do evil, I believe. There may be some things that are in between. But most times they are either one or the other. And then our motives are another one that I think of that we need to discern. What is our motive? Is it a good motive or is it a wrong motive? Or in this case, we call it evil. And obviously, then we have the spiritual realm where We have God who's wanting us to choose what's right, and we have the enemy who's wanting us to choose what's wrong. But I believe when we talk about discerning between good and evil, I would like to differentiate between that and categorizing people in one camp or the other. Now, I believe that there are evil people, and I believe there are good people. Matthew 7 talks about not judging, which from my study would mean rash or unjust judgment. I believe what, if I understand what the intent of what Jesus was saying here is, judge not that you be not judged, is he's not saying you shouldn't be discerning. You should be discerning, and in fact, you may even judge a person. But it is when we have rash or unjust judgment is the intent of that word judge. I believe we are called to be what I call fruit inspectors without condemnation. So in this way, we judge others, but we do it in the context that if we judge unjustly, it will affect God's judgment of us. So how do we relate to what we call evil people? If they are evil, does that mean we can just write them off and say, well, they're evil, they're done for? How would Christ interact with evil people? Well, for one thing, he showed love to those who rejected him. So I believe we are called to love our enemies and those who are evil. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. So the Bible entreats us to be discerning because we are to hate what is evil and hold on to what is good. So we need discernment to decipher between good and evil. Next point is that discernment helps us maintain sound doctrine. Turn with me to 1 John 4. In 1 John 4, we read of how we are to discern what spirit someone is teaching. 1 John 4, beginning of verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are called to test the spirits, or another way to put it would be that we are to discern whether what someone teaches is of God. And John says that if the teaching doesn't believe in Jesus Christ come in the flesh, then we are to dismiss it. It is interesting to note that Jesus, being fully human and fully God, is something most major religions deny. They may say he was a good man. Muslims would say he was a good prophet, a great prophet. They may even say he was a good teacher, but they cannot believe that he was God incarnate. And I find it interesting because here, in some ways, we see it played out. That unless a spirit or a teaching, I'm going to say, confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, then we recognize it as false. And as I said, so many religions of the world do not confess that. And I was just recently made aware that in American Catholicism, Jesus is worshipped as a crucified Christ, not as the resurrected victor. I had an interesting encounter with a lady that rents from Golden Rule Property Management, and she grew up in a Catholic home and has come to faith in Christ as I would understand it. And that was one of the things that she told me. She said, I used to have a crucifix in my house. And try to make a long story short, she told me that that God showed her in a dream that her shrine that she had, where she would pray and worship every day, was an idol. And she said, Jesus told me that that crucifix that you have hanging in your house is not me. I am alive. I've resurrected. And so she took down her shrine, she took down her crucifix. It was so encouraging to visit with her and to hear of her faith in Christ. And I felt like I got an education of some questions that I had about what do Catholics actually believe, and was challenged by her walk with the Lord. Now I'd like to look at, so why is it important that we maintain sound doctrine? John MacArthur says, and I quote, in its simplest definition, discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, the ability to think with discernment is synonymous with an ability to think biblically. End of quote. Now, I believe that you all have a desire to have a biblical worldview, which is another way of saying that the Word of God shapes our thinking. Rather than we coming to the Word of God and I have my ideas of what I think it should say, I take the Word of God and say, my life doesn't quite align with that, so I need to change because the Word of God says that. That is, I believe, what has been coined or termed biblical worldview. Now, you all know, and I know, that we live out of what we believe in our hearts. So it is important that we have right thinking and right believing. And the imperative we have as believers is to know the scriptures well, so when we are confronted with a new doctrine, we have the ability to discern truth from error. So it is important that we learn to know the Word of God, because if we don't know it, then when something false comes along, we'll be like, I don't know, because we haven't studied the Word of God. Now, according to 2 Peter, verses 3 and 4, it says that God has given us what we need, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I would like to say here that I believe that divine nature is so key. In fact, I believe it is the way that we are then able to discern correctly. Now, I'd like to look at some doctrines that concern me, that I believe need discernment when we hear them to know what is true and what is not. We hear it from time to time, but it continues to surface, it seems like, all over the place. The prosperity gospel, or the prosperity teaching. God has said that he will bless us, and so that means physical blessings. And so if you are poor, you are not receiving the blessing of God. That's kind of the idea. Well, there are aspects of that teaching that all of us can agree on. But where they end up is where I, and I think most of you, would differ. But the teaching is out there, and I think the call is, be discerning. There is what we call the Calvinistic teaching. Now, does that mean that I disagree with everything that John Calvin taught and what has been coined as the Calvinistic theology? No. But there are ways that and things that he taught that are taught in the Calvinistic teaching that I cannot reconcile with the scripture. In the last several years, we've seen some things about the healing movement, what we call the healing movement. It calls for discernment. There are things that we do not want to discard that the healing movement people, things that they embrace. But we also need to be discerning, is everything they are teaching according to the Word of God? What I call easy believism, what Paul mentioned about, I wasn't saved just to make me feel good and so that I have a ticket to heaven, and so, yippee, now I can do what I want. We are called to the kingdom. We are called to give our lives in sacrifice. We need discernment. And something that you will hear in various forms, in various ways, all religions lead to God. Or the idea that when someone dies, oh, we know that they went to a better place, whether they had faith in God or not. I hear it in my interactions with people. And we need discernment. Another thing that concerns me is that there has been in the past, and I'm guessing it's probably current, the idea that music is amoral. And so if I like the music, if it fits my style, then it must be okay to listen to, it must be okay. We need discernment in our music choices. And then, one that I don't hear a lot of, but I have heard it some, the idea that God wants me to be happy. The most important thing for me is that God wants me to be happy. And so I make choices, I make decisions based on that. If I'm happy, then God must be happy. We need discernment. John D. Martin says that when the church turned to systematic theology, the tendency was to embrace the doctrine as a whole. But I would like to suggest, and he would agree, when we do that, we toss aside the need for discernment. We should always be discerning whether it is your pastors at center that are teaching or someone that you don't know. Because we live our lives with our human nature, yes, supposed to be constantly changed more and more into the image of Christ, but I recognize that is even in my good intentions that I may not teach the scriptures correctly. And you need to be discerning. But there is something about calling people to pastors, to pastorship from our own congregation that I would say helps minimize that, because we know ourselves. We know our own people. And Paul reminded Timothy of that when he was in 2 Timothy 3. He said, this is going to be happening. But he said, in contrast to that, you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. In other words, he's saying, Timothy, you were along on some of my journeys. You know me. And that is, I don't think, something we can take lightly. I am not against learning from other Christians that we really don't know. We listen to a podcast, we listen to a sermon. We can learn things from them, but we always need discernment. And the challenge is, we don't know their life. My third point is, we need discernment to decipher between what is good and what is best. In Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10, I'd like to quickly read that. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That is in the English Standard Version. But Paul's prayer is that the Philippians would increase in their knowledge and in their discernment. Why? That you may approve what is excellent. Now, I think most of you agree that there are things that are good and there are things that are the best or excellent. And when we're talking about the need to discern between good and evil, we're talking about something that is right and something that is wrong. But there is an area of our life that I'm going to say is in the gray. There are things that we can do that are good, and there are things that we can do that are excellent. And I believe, at least for myself, that herein lies maybe the hardest responsibility given to us as Christians. Although it isn't always easy to differentiate between truth and error, we know that one is right and one is wrong. But what do we do with good and best? You know, there are many things in life that are not wrong in themselves, but they're not the best. Probably the area that I think of most is how we use our spare time. How do you determine what you will do when you have spare time? As I was thinking of this, I was thinking, you know, I think that I tend to view time similarly to the way I view money. You know, we all say we know God owns our money, but that doesn't mean we view it that way. You know, I was talking after church on Wednesday evening about this whole stewardship thing. And I asked the question, so if you knew you were handling money for someone else, let's say a brother in the church, how would you do that? And the brother answered, well, I'd do it, you know, I'd be careful with how I spend it, because it's someone else's. But you know, somehow I struggle to keep that in front of me with what I call my money. We understand it is God's money, but how come when I'm to take care of it, I don't continue to remember, now how am I handling God's money, because he's given it to me? Now think of it in how we view our time. Time is a stewardship as well. God has given you, the days that you will live. How are you using it? Are you recognizing it as a stewardship? And that someday I will need to give an account. So we are called to stewardship with our time, with our money, with our talents. Understanding my stewardship with these things helps me be more discerning, right? I believe it should. I believe it will. But we do need spiritual discernment to choose what is best over the things that are just good. In conclusion, I believe if you want to be successful as a Christian, you will need to learn to exercise discernment. An important part of that is familiarity with the scriptures and listening to the Spirit. And my prayer for you is that God would grant you much wisdom and discernment for the coming week. We need it in the times that we are living in. There is much out there that is trying to draw us away. But I like to think of discernment as kind of the knife that cuts through kind of everything and helps us discern what is right, what is wrong, and what is good, and what is best. Let's kneel and pray. God, you've given us your word that says that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And Lord, you have called us to maturity to be able to discern well in the times that we live in. And I pray, Lord, that as it was said of the 200 men of Issachar that knew the times that they live in and they had a way for Israel to go, I pray, Father, that we at center here would have men and women who know our times and are discerning and know in what way we should go as well. And Lord, we can do that because we have your word and because you've given us your Spirit. So I pray for a greater understanding and the ability, Lord, to make good discernments. As we face things in life, Lord, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.